this morning. Grab your Bibles to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. So you'd think this would be a quick book. You would be wrong. Actually, we made it all the way to verse 4 last week. If you don't know where the book of Jude is, go to the book of Revelation, last book, just back up just a little bit. It's a small little book, so it would be easy to fly right by it. But it is a powerful, powerful book that Jude wanted to turn around and give a word of encouragement. He said, look, I wanted to talk about salvation and what a joy that is. He goes, but I'm compelled to warn you. And we talk about the idea of warnings, and not everyone likes to be warned. I don't like to tell I'm wrong, I watch out for. And so sometimes we resist that. And often, as a pastor, as you turn around and trying to come up with the idea of a message, people like all the upbeat, encouraging ones. They usually don't like the warning ones. And yet the Word of God warns us often. And you guys know this, right? As a parent, how much time do you spend warning your kids? Right? I mean, it doesn't stop when they're little, right? Don't put that in your mouth. Right? Don't eat that. I remember years ago, there was a company that sold a little mini bike. And they got sued because there was lead in their gearbox. And a kid licked the gearbox and got lead poisoning. And so now there's a big warning. They put a big, don't lick the gearbox. Right? And I remember thinking, who would even think about doing that? And then I had a child who liked to lick things. I was like, my kid would be the one. Right? And all these warnings are out there, and it's imperative. And the scripture tells us time and time, watch out. Right? And they get older, and you tell them, finally, they start driving, and it's like, don't. Right? Trying to get to the point. You're warning your girls, don't be around boys. Boys are just savage animals. Don't stay away from them. I can say that as a former boy. And so be careful, right? We warn our adult children. It's the same thing, right? We see that imperative. And not because we don't care, but we warn because we do care. And I really cringe for sort of the American church type thing, because we're feeding all the happy, happy, happy. And there's not a whole lot of warning, warning, warning. And I think the church has become very anemic because of that. And so we talk about remember God's judgment. He starts off here. And last week we taught the idea of Egypt. And God judges the oppressor. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a biblical principle. And we look at this world, and sometimes we feel like the strong is off so strong, as the song says. We seem like evil is winning. We got to realize as Christians, look, we need to trust God, because God will judge wrong. And we looked at this last week, that God will judge the oppressors, and he uses Egypt. That for 400 years, Israel was captive in Egypt, and God released them and freed them. And in that, judged Egypt for their sin. This morning I'm going to take the idea of angels, and Jude picks this up in Jude verse 6. He says this, it says, the angels who do not keep their proper domain, but left their abode, he has reserved in everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of that great day. Now anyway, we talk about the idea that God will judge the angels. Now, just as Egypt was the oppressor, okay, and how about the angels? This kind of blows my mind. Because the angels were with God. They saw him. Now, I've never seen God face to face. I've felt his presence in my life. I've seen him revealed through his words. As Peter says, we love him having not seen him. I look forward to the day of seeing my Lord. And I hope you look forward to that day as well. And so for the angels to be in the presence of God, to see all that glory, it's interesting because you read the scriptures in Revelation, Ezekiel, and you have these scenes of heaven, and you can just tell the writers are having a hard time describing what they're seeing. Heaven is so beautiful and so wonderful that I don't think we can comprehend it. Actually, Paul tells us that our minds cannot even comprehend what God has in store for us. So think of how great heaven's going to be, and it's probably at least double it or triple it. And the angels were in the presence of God, worshipped him. They were designed to worship and serve him. And yet the Bible says that they rebelled against that. They became apostate. They became rebellious. They turned away. And how could someone turn away from such a wonderful God? And yet the angels see this. Because they left their abode. Because they left, the Bible says they'll be judged. And first thing I want to talk a little bit about angels. Take a step back. The Bible talks a lot about them. And the first thing I want to say, angels are a created being. God created angels. They're not humans. I always kind of cringe. Someone says, well, my grandma passed away and now she's an angel up in heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. We are people. We are humans. We were designed, created that way. And then when we go to heaven, even though we don't have this earthly body, eventually we'll get a new body, but we will still be people. Angels will be angels. People will be people. Angels are a created order designed to worship and serve God. They're not people. So when people die, they don't become angels. Actually, I want to put it in there too. And I'll get into the last one. Okay, here. It says, angels were created sometime before this world. Now, it's interesting because you talk about eternity past, before this world was created. It gets kind of complicated because we don't have a time frame. Because when God created this world, he created time with it. And so the Bible says in the book of Job that when God created this world, created Adam and Eve, created the Garden of Eden, God created all of those things. Talks about the angels in heaven on looked, and they sang, and as they looked down, they shouted for joy, as they're kind of cheering God on as he was creating this. So the angels predate this world. I don't know how long before. It was the day before. It could have been, when you throw time out the window, what's eternity, right? So we don't know how long. All we know, the scripture says that they were created before this world was. Because he watched God do it. Third thing, angels don't procreate. The Bible says that, look, they were asked Jesus, to say, when we get to heaven, will I have my husband and will I have my wife? And Jesus said, no, we're not going to be like that. We're going to be like the angels in heaven who don't give in marriage. There's not more angels being made. The scripture seems to be pretty clear that at one time when God created, he created all the angels, and he's not creating them anymore. And how many are there? There's multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of angels that are created. But it doesn't seem to be an ongoing process. Angels aren't marrying. They don't have babies, which I'm thankful for. Because growing up, my mom was all into kind of like Victorian art. So we had naked little baby angels around the house. They are just creepy. They are just creepy. So there's no baby angels up there. No little cherubs running around. Or if you're a Doctor Who fan, you got the sleeping angels that have little babies. But I won't get into that. But anyways, there is none of that in heaven. They were created. They're created. Any other, it doesn't seem to be male or female, the Bible doesn't say. It does, every time they reveal to us, they tend to take a form of a man. But they're not male or female because they're not like us. They're spiritual beings. Last thing I want to talk about the angels is angels aren't offered salvation. Peter tells us that salvation is one of those things that the angels desire to look into. Because picture this from the angels' point of view. That here they were. They were with God before God created man. They had fellowship and worshipped him. They served him. All those things. And then man came along, and man fell, and we chose a turn against God. And God chose from the beginning, say, look, I'm going to send my son, that he's going to die. We did that in communion, right? That picture. And now the angels are more powerful than us. They're probably more wise than we are, more knowledgeable than us. What are we? Actually, according to Genesis, we're just dirt. And yet, God loves you and loves me. So much so that he gave his son for them. He never offered that salvation to the angels that fell. There's no redemption. God didn't take the form of an angel and sacrifice himself for them. He did it for us. And the angels kind of look down and says, what does God see in this guy? You know? It's not because I'm lovely, because I'm not. He loves me because he chooses to. But salvation isn't something, there doesn't seem to be any redemption for angels. So those that fell, those that made that decision, are locked into that decision until their final judgment. So it's interesting about angels. It's interesting because the angels aren't meant to be worshipped. And you got to be careful because there are movements that come up through. Where people, you know, have the little angel pin, they turn around and talk. There's a movement several years ago about talking to your guardian angel. And the Bible tells us that God does set his angels watch over us. So he does. They serve God and they minister to us. We have ministering angels who minister to us. Sometimes we entertain angels unaware. The Bible says sometimes they'll take a form of a person and in here help us or encourage us or give us an opportunity to serve. And we just don't know it. And God's kind of doing this behind the scenes. But be very careful. I just want to make sure I get this clear. The angels are not to be exalted or not to be worshipped. And actually, several times through Scripture, when an angel appeared to someone, oftentimes what would happen is, firstly, the person would fall down. Woo! Right? And then oftentimes they would do is they would worship the angel. And the angel is always real clear. It says, no, 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 don't worship me. Worship God. They are just messengers. They are his hands, they are his feet. But always through that, be careful. Because sometimes the focus has become, let's focus on the angel and not on the God creator who they serve. All right? So back in Jude 6, it says, the angels did not keep their proper domain, but left their abode. He has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Peter uses the same kind of language here. Talks about those angels who fell. It says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And what the writers here are trying to encourage you is saying, look, those who are with God and then walk away, we call this apostate, those who turn away from the faith. And we all know people who, over the course of time, who have been walking, who maybe came to church, who declared to be a Christian, who have walked away and become apostate, become hostile to the gospel. What about them? And the Bible says, look, they will be judged. If the angels in heaven who fell will be judged, then those who walk away from the faith will be judged as well. Satan was the original fallen angel. It all started with him. Isaiah chapter 14 starts off this way. It says, how have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Satan's sin was pride. It wasn't enough for him to serve God. He wanted to take the place of God. And in that rebellion, God cast him out. Revelation paints the scene this way. It says, there appeared and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and ten diadems on his head. And he drew a tail, a third of the stars from heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And you're like, what? What's that say? And Revelation is the book of a lot of imagery. And here, this red fiery dragon is talking about Satan. And when Satan was cast out of heaven, the Bible says that he took his tail and swept off a third. And in here, Satan took a third of the angels with him. And what do we call these fallen angels? We call them demons. There is a spiritual warfare taking place here, unseen to us. They are around us. And then here it talks about the woman. And here, basically what Satan does, he tried to take out the woman's Israel. And the child of Israel was Christ. And so Satan's goal was to root out Christ, the Savior. We see this throughout history as Satan has intervened with his lies and distortions to try to take away our salvation. Just a little bit further in that same chapter says this. So the great dragon was cast out. Who is that dragon? The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan rebelled and fell. Now be careful, because there's some thoughts that's out there that, you know, Satan is in hell and that's his throne, and God and Satan are equal. Can I tell you something? Satan is a created being. Now, he is more powerful than you and I, but guess what? He is limited in what he can do. Then in here, through deceit and through lies, Satan has been in this world distorting, and what he knows his time is short. And in here, his goal is to destroy. Satan loves to mess with your marriage because he wants to destroy your marriage, relationships with your children. He wants to pull you away from God in the doubt and fear that he's so good at distorting. He deals in pride. He deals in lies. And now Satan isn't everywhere at once, right? God is everywhere at once. Satan can only be in one place at a time. And so I don't know if he's here this morning. I don't know if he'd bother with a little guy like me. But he's got a horde of demons who he has unleashed upon this world to do his work and do his bidding. And you can say, oh, that's kind of scary. It's interesting, because I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to like horror movies. I don't like them so much anymore. Yeah, you know, walking in the dark and you hear a bump and you're like, I remember once, first time I really had my own place, and in the middle of the night I was hearing these weird noises, and I was like, you know. And I found myself singing. And it's really bad because I can't sing, and so I don't even like to hear myself sing. And so I was just sort of scared. So I was walking around the house, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Yeah, you know? And so I was getting fearful. And I forget something. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Satan is limited. Job tells us that, you know what, Satan is allowed freedom, but only by the hand of God. And so finally at the end, we're going to look at it here just in a little bit, when Satan is judged, Satan doesn't have to put up a fight. God just says, boom, and that's it. So don't fear it. Don't seek it out either. I remember talking to a guy who's like, oh, you know, I just want to find someone who's demon-possessed. I can't wait to find the devil because I'm going to fight him. And then I'm like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Keep yourself pure, live for God, worship him, and everything else will fall into place. But these demons were cast out of heaven. Now, where are they today? The first one, they're here on earth. There are demons who are walking around. And I think some of the things that we call as paranormal, I think some of those are satanic behind some of those things, to distort. I had a teacher in fifth grade who talked about, she found out I was a Christian. So we had some really interesting conversations. And she talked about she had several ghosts that lived in her house. And we're talking about heaven and what the Bible says. And she goes, well, I know the Bible's not true. I said, how do you know that? She goes, because I was talking to one of my ghosts, and my ghost said the Bible's all wrong. Now, when we die, the Bible says what? Real simple. If we're a Christian, if we die, we go straight to heaven. If an unsaved person dies, he goes straight to hell. Or Hades. He's held. There is no in-between. Our dead ones don't return to us. But Satan, who can masterful disguise himself as an angel of light, the Bible says, to deceive, he can come across as righteous. I mean, if the devil showed up at your house, knock, 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 with the little horns and a little tail, says, let me in, you'd be like, ah, Jesus saves, Jesus, right? Right? That's what you'd be like. You know, you'd be doing, I'm not even Catholic, right? You wouldn't let that in. But Satan doesn't come that way. He comes as a tempter to play on our desires and to play on our fears. And his demons have the same tactic, to lure us in. They're here on earth, but once again, greater is he is in us than he is in the world. And the second one talks about this bottomless pit. When Jesus was here on earth, he went out through and met a demon-possessed man. It says, in Matthew chapter 8 says this, and there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tomb as seemingly fierce. so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out and said, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? If you come to torment us before the time." It's interesting, the demons recognized who Jesus was. "You are the Son of God." And he says, "Wait a minute, don't torment. It's not our time for judgment yet." I believe Satan knows when his time will come. And he's just buying his time. He's trying to do as much destruction as he can before he's judged. And you and I are the victims of that wrath. And his demons are out and about. They know Jesus is God. He says, "Look, it's not our time." And actually Luke picks up the same story and he puts it this way. He says, "They begged him that they would not command them to go into the abyss." You say, what's this abyss? And the Bible talks about this idea that there is an abyss, a void place, also called the bottomless pit. There's a place of storage, if you will, for the devil and his angels when the time comes to hold them until judgment day. Revelation says this, "As they laid hold of the dragon," that is the serpent of old, the devil, the Satan, "and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up to seal him up, and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released." The bottomless pit, the abyss, the void, is a holding cell, if you will, until judgment. But Revelation chapter 9 talks about this during the end times. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit." Here we are again, right? What's inside the bottomless pit? Our demons that are being held. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions of the earth to have power." And if you read the passage, let's see. Yep, I'll go ahead. And it says, "And the angel sounded, and I heard a voice from heaven from the four horns of the altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, 'Release the four angels who are bound in the great Euphrates.'" So the four angels were prepared for that hour and day and month and year and were released to kill a third of mankind. So in Revelation chapter 9, in here, the bottomless pit is open. And in here, these locusts, if you read the description, I believe they're demons, are released to torment the earth. Once again, I like this because God's in control. Revelation chapter 9, what we just read, talks about in the Euphrates River, the Bible says that there are four angels that are bound in chains, and we can't see them because they're in the spiritual realm. But in here, because of these demons, these fallen angels are so powerful, God has chained them in the Euphrates River that will be released for judgment here on earth. But bottomless pit is just this holding place until finally the final judgment is laid up. And you read the end of the book, the Bible talks about the lake of fire. Hell that has destined the future for the angels and the devil himself. Matthew 25, Jesus himself says this. It says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the what? Devil and his angels.'" Hell was never designed for man. But because man fell, because we are broken, because God has to judge sin, now we have the same fate as Satan. But the lake of fire was designed as a final prison cell, if you will, for Satan and his angels that followed against him. Revelation chapter 20 says this, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan will be judged. Keep that in mind, folks. And how great is that fall? Remember, Satan was right up there with God and worshipped him. The angels that fell, worshipped and served God, were in his presence, and yet they turned from the faith. And God will judge them because of those things. You got to be aware of that, folks. God will judge. In the last days, we have many people who are going to fall away. Jesus warns us that in the last time, we'll see many who will be offended. and will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow, what? Cold. Folks, there's going to be a great falling away. The Apostle Paul warned us this in 2 Thessalonians, and do not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by the Spirit or by the word or by the letter, as is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. The Thessalonians were afraid that they were in the last times. Have you heard a lot of people say we are in the last times? The Bible says, and Paul warns us, says, no, you're not there yet because something's going to take place first. And he talks about this. He says, look, as though the day of Christ has come, let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless a fallen away comes first. And the Son of Man is revealed, the son of perdition. In the final revelation, in the final week of Daniel, the final judgment, the tribulation period, however you want to phrase it, when that happens, one of the signs is going to be a great falling away first. There's going to be many who are saying, I'm Christians, who walk away. There's many churches that will say, you know what, I'm going to hold the sound doctrine, who no longer do that, and will choose the way of the world. They'll choose the lies of this world, the deceptions of the world, and they'll choose those things against the true word of God. And they'll turn their back on Christ. I think we're seeing that today. He says, when all these things happen, be careful and watch, because the Antichrist, that's who the son of perdition is. The Antichrist is going to come up halfway through the tribulation period. And the Antichrist hasn't come in. I know some people have different views of different political leaders on the scene. It's, oh, they're the Antichrist. That hasn't happened yet. What will happen is the Antichrist will come. Satan will fill him. He will go into the temple in Israel, which hasn't been built yet. He'll declare himself God. And none of that has taken place yet. So we are clearly not into things as far as that. But leading into this, the Bible talks about birth pains. Stay in here. Things are getting in place, and I think we're seeing that. The Bible talks about in the last days that you have to receive a mark to buy or sell. We're going to see a one-world government, and we can see all these things are falling into place. Right? Our world is very much strongly, if you don't comply, watch out. And we're getting stronger. And I'm fearful. And I don't mean that as in, you know, because I know God's in control. I'm more fearful, kind of like, you know, when you go to the dentist and he goes, I'm going to pull this tooth out. And, you know, he numbs you enough, and you know it's going to come. I'm like, you know, right? Oh, you know what I'm talking about, right? That anticipation. You know, I remember as a kid, we'd get spankings. And we had a stick. I mean, my parents would be arrested by DHS by today's standards, right? And you know, I remember going downstairs once, and I'd done something. I always deserved it. And my stepfather took the stick, and he'd take it and touch the ceiling with it and get a full swing. And I remember, as kids, you know, bend over, and I was bawling. Ah! And finally, all of a sudden, I heard him laughing. Because I was screaming bloody murder. He didn't even touch me yet. Right? Somehow I thought if I screamed louder that he'd take it easy yet. And he ended up laughing. I did get off that time. So, right? It's that kind of fear. Right? As a Christian, I know God's in control. I believe the rapture's going to take place. He's going to take us away. I believe all these things with all my heart. But doesn't mean I'm apprehensive in the process towards it. And I think our world is going down that. I think we are in a time where there's many who are falling away from the faith. That it's going to get harder to stand for the truth. And as your pastor, I want to warn you, because I believe those days are coming where we may suffer for our faith, not just be ridiculed, but actually may cost us for the stand on the Word of God. We cannot compromise the Word of God. And those who fall away, they will be judged. And that's what Jude is writing. The warning goes out so you don't follow. That you won't follow, that you won't go down that road. That we have many preachers who are preaching on YouTube, on Facebook, and on the television, and on the radio, who are leading people astray. Be careful. Seek out those who will tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help them God. And the Bible says that there'll be a strong delusion to believe a lie. And don't. Be faithful. Revelation
We have the seven churches, and each one Jesus himself encourages to remain faithful to the end. Christian, I beg you, be faithful to the end, because those that walk away, the Bible says, will be judged. If the angels in heaven are judged, and they do not escape those judgments, how much more so shall we? How much more should we? And next week we'll pick things up, talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. This should be an interesting one, as God warns of these judgments. And I say these things not lightly. I don't say them with joy in my heart, but because I love you. I beseech you, brethren, be faithful to the end, because great is the reward for those that finish strong. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, help us to be a people who are faithful to the end, who will stand on your word, who will seek out truth. Lord, we live in a world, we talk so much about disinformation. We talk a lot about conspiracies, Lord. I'm not concerned about the political conspiracies and the rumors that's out there about those things, but Lord, help us stand firm upon the word of God. There are those who are within and those who are without who will seek to destroy the truth, Lord. Help us to recognize that and stand strong. Lord, help your people be faithful to the end, because you are our reward. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name.